When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast brought to you by the Birmingham Mail. It seems like Alan Pardew is the watchword today, so we thought we'd bring you a special breakout podcast to take a look at the former Newcastle United manager and see what people think of him. At the moment, Pardew is 4-1 on with Betfair and Paddy Power at the time we're recording this, so it would appear like the bookies at least think that he's very much the firm favourite. There's some talk that he's been in the area. There's some talk that Ronald Koeman and Sam Allardyce aren't interested. There's some talk that Albion want Premier League experience, and that's going to be quite a limiting thing. There's not many others, maybe Martin O'Neill, one or two others, but there's not many out there in the market that have that. So what we thought we'd do is take a quick look at Alan Pardew as a manager. We're going to do that by speaking to two people. Firstly, Mark Douglas, who's the Newcastle United editor at the Newcastle Chronicle and has covered Pardew's career there. Ask him a bit about how he did, the nature of the football, one or two stories about his time there, and then generally about Newcastle and whether or not they might help us out by being a relegation candidate. We've also got a Newcastle fan in our office in the form of video editor Ben Hurst. We've had a bit of a chat with him about Pardew's time at Newcastle. So hopefully we'll be able to put some meat on the bones about the man that might very well be the next Albion manager. Okay, so I'm here with, I'm on the line with Mark Douglas, who is the Newcastle United editor at the Newcastle Chronicle. He's also the writer of the book, The Raffolution. What's the name of your book, Mark?
Inside the Raffolution.
Yeah. Which you know, I would no doubt would be interesting to Albion fans as well as Newcastle fans.
I hope so, yeah.
So Alan Pardew, is he any good?
Yeah, well, I mean, Alan Pardew, I think it's fair to say that there's mixed opinions of him at Newcastle United. I think he definitely stayed for too long. In the short term, for the first sort of 2-3 years, he did very, very well. I mean, the first full season he had at Newcastle United, he got Newcastle into fifth, which was, an overachievement of pretty incredible proportions, really, especially when things sort of levelled out a little bit later in his reign. He was very good in the short term, and I think that seems to have been a pattern that's followed him throughout his time in football management. He seems to do a really good job at first. I mean, at Palace, you know, he had them overachieving. I think they were in the sort of top six just before he got relegated. They slumped into relegation problems as well. And he did, he did a similar thing at Newcastle. I think the problem was that he became very much linked with a very unpopular owner and a boardroom that is pretty toxic at Newcastle United. He said the wrong things. I think there was an evidence, I think especially towards the end, that he felt like he was kind of torn between representing Mike Ashley in the boardroom, and that was just completely incompatible with staying popular at Newcastle United. And I think that then created a lot of pressure off the field, which then affected his decisions on the field as well. But he's not bad. Tactically, I think he's pretty flexible. They were quite direct under him. But he never really had any control at all over transfers. That was the main thing. I think that was one of the big problems. It was almost like Newcastle were so desperate to do, desperate to back him and desperate to have him as, they gave him a 10-year contract, I think, at one point, or an 8-year contract, sorry, that he would still be in if he was still here. But I just think that they never really, they were prepared to back him to an extent of giving him a long contract, but then they didn't back him in terms of the players that he wanted either. And that just meant it was a problem. And he stayed for 2 years too many as well. I mean, he should have gone the season before he actually went. He should have gone then. He was very close to getting fired, I think, for off-field stuff, which was actually when he said that he didn't think Mike Ashley knew what he was talking about with football. He said that kind of off the cuff, kind of comment, I think it was on Sky, and that was the only time he was ever really close to getting sacked, because he was, you know, they felt like they were going to back him back into to the hill. So I thought he was, funnily enough, we fell out with him towards the end. I'll probably get into that a little bit later. And he was very, you know, the newspaper fell out with him, and he and I found him, you know, sometimes he could be extremely kind of brash and arrogant. But I think as a football manager, he's not bad at all. You know, he's definitely got things that he does really well. The players liked him at Newcastle generally. They felt like his sessions were pretty good. He wasn't bad at they felt he was a good coach. His teams, you know, I think the problem was sometimes they had a very soft centre and they collapsed very too easily. But that was a question, I think, maybe of them signing the wrong players, which you couldn't necessarily say was his fault. So he's a Premier League level manager. At the same time, he wasn't the right man for Newcastle, certainly by the end.
I mean, looking at the nature of what is the job for Albion, I'd say it almost splits into two. There is a short term kind of firefighting job there, in that they are, you know, they're full favourites for relegation now, having been nowhere near there at the start. And there's probably a longer term stabilise the club in the division, or restabilise the club. As a firefighter, by the sounds of things, you think that's probably his forte.
Yeah, I think what he does is he comes in and he gives a kind of short term injection of sort of something different. There's definitely, you know, he definitely has a I think something about that he does well when he comes into a club. He must rally the players, I think, well. I think they all spoke quite, because he came into Newcastle in quite difficult circumstances. He'd just been just left Southampton in League One. Chris Hughton's very, very popular manager at Newcastle United. He came in, and it was a difficult situation for him because he didn't have much legitimacy in terms of being the Newcastle manager. But he won people round, and he did that quite well. He won the dressing room around by sort of, I don't think he was being pushed around by anybody, but he's a kind of dressing room manager, so he will take, you know, he will put an arm around the shoulder of the players. He likes to have the players on side. You know, he's not a pushover. But he works with the players. He's not a kind of sergeant major who'll come in and tell everybody what they're doing wrong and what they're, you know, and they've got to do it this way or that way. He's not that kind of man. He works with the players. And so I think he probably in the short term could make a difference for West Brom. I think whether he's the answer long term, I don't think there's anything in his career as a manager to suggest that he's somebody who can come in and do it for 10, you know, do it for 3 or 4 or 5 seasons. But there's not many people who can, to be fair to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he is unpopular at Newcastle United but it was more for the things that he said off the pitch. I think potentially he said the wrong things. He just made the mistake of getting tied up with the ownership. I think he overcompensated after he made the mistake on Sky Sports about Mike Ashley. He overcompensated and said far too much in praise of Mike Ashley. Then, you know, turned a lot of people off. Lost the derby. I mean, he was. They had a terrible record in the derbies towards the end, and also his record in the cups, where he'd pick weakened teams, partially because I think that was the club policy, made him very, very unpopular. Towards the end, and he was engaged in this kind of running battle with Graham Carr, who was the chief scout at the time, over players and stuff. And I think, you know, that's the thing. You know, he was quite happy to work within those constructs because he knew it was a big job. And I think if he went into West Brom, he would go in with his eyes open about, you know, look, with the West Brom job, similar to Newcastle, you have to take, you know, you have to take the structure as part of the job. You know, you're not going to go into West Brom and get to buy every player that you want, but you'll have more control over it, I think, than he did at Newcastle. And it's the question of whether he can do that. The one thing at Palace was he did get complete free reign over signing players, and it didn't actually come off, did it?
Because
towards the end he spent a lot of money and it didn't actually come off that well. So
you should have sent him Graham Carr.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, funnily enough, he did actually. He used to complain to us about not getting the players that he wanted, and then he went to Palace and signed half the players that he'd signed, that Graham Carr had signed for him at Newcastle. He got Johan Kabay, and he wanted others. He obviously got Laurent Remy as well, and he wanted others who Graham Carr had signed for him. But the players seem to quite like him. I think it's with a bit of distance, you can now see that he certainly wasn't the worst manager that Newcastle have ever had. I mean, Steve McLaren was utterly hopeless. John Carver, who followed him on a caretaker basis, you know, I think was really struggled. He was kind of out of depth a little bit with no resources, and Pardew was better than both of them. But then you see where Newcastle are now in terms of having Rafa Benitez as a manager, and it's night and day. You know, Rafa Benitez is much better manager than Alan Pardew. And does things in a completely different way, and you know, that I think that's the level that Newcastle fans want their manager to be at. Pardew wasn't at that level, but he's not bad. You know, I wouldn't be. It's not like a kind of an appointment that I would look at as a West Brom fan and think he's gonna. You know, we're in real trouble. It's not a kind of one of those appointments where you look at it and you think, well, what did they do that for? He's gonna, you know, he's gonna go. I mean, it's not like a kind of David Moyes at West Ham where you just cannot understand what they're doing there. I wouldn't say it was quite the same at West Brom.
Yeah.
I could understand why they were a bit underwhelmed given some of the other candidates out there.
So we love a story on Woodman Corner, and you intimated it earlier on. What, can you tell us any stories from your time with Alan Pardew?
How long have you got? There's a lot about Alan Pardew. Not all of them printable.
Yes.
Or for the election, people listen to the podcast. But funnily enough, he was. I think the thing with Pardew was more that he was good at was he would kind of give you this impression that he was, you know, that he was very good with the media at the start. You know, he got us all on side, but you always felt with him that he was, you know, that there was an element of he was kind of using you a little bit. And I remember when Joe Kinnear came in, and obviously came in and he mispronounced everybody's surnames and all this, and everybody was kind of getting really worked about what he was going to do. Alan Pardew, you know, under the press officer's instructions, he invited us all down to the quayside for a pizza and a few drinks, and he was there, like, you know, running around, telling and asking us, "What do you think of this player? I'm going to go and get this player. I think I'm going to, you know, what do you think of Darren Bent at West Brom?" And we were kind of sitting there thinking, "Oh, you know, he's going to get his own way. He's going to work this as a kind of, you know, into his own way." Sure enough, the next time we saw him, he'd not managed to get any of those things.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a joke. But I also remember that after the fifth place season, we got invited up to the boardroom for a kind of, you know, a kind of boozy lunch, really. And I remember him saying, you know, he was kind of, we did finish fifth, so he'd done really, really well. And he said, "Oh, do you think I'll get?" He's like, "I've got. What do you think of the season?" We were saying, "Oh, you know, you've got to be a contender for the League Managers Association, surely." The LMA award and stuff, and he just went, "Nah, they all, nah, my managerial colleagues do not like me." And it was like, you know, but then he did actually win it in the end, so he wasn't right on that. But he's quite a funny guy, you know, he's quite a smart guy. But I mean, towards the end, I don't know whether you remember that he came out blamed the local media, because we actually got banned on his watch, and he came out and blamed the way that we were covering the club for some of the poor form. So we turned around this back page of the Sunday Sun, which is our Sunday newspaper up here, sort of apologising for everything that he'd done wrong. So apologising for the headbutt, apologising for the Derby record, apologising for the FA Cup record and stuff. And it kind of went viral, and I don't think that helped him at all. But he was, I think it didn't end particularly well for him up here. But but funny enough, the last time he came up to St James's Park and brought Palace up here, he was kind of ignored rather than booed. He was kind of ignored. So, you know, he's a fighter. He's definitely a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, he was under a lot of pressure when there was the kind of the Pardew out campaign, and I thought, you know, other lesser men would have buckled under it. But he kind of, you know, he is a fighter. I'll give him credit. He's got, you know, he's got a lot of bottle. He doesn't shy away from it. He's happy to sort of front up and do that, and I did, you know, there was kind of a grudging respect for him, really, in that even though he was part of the people that were banning us, and he sort of signed off on that as well, I kind of thought, fair play, you know, he doesn't shy away from it, but yeah, I didn't, I think it was right that he went. You know, he probably not the worst manager that Newcastle United have ever had, but you know, somewhere in the middle, I think it's fair to say.
Which is, I suppose, it's grudging praise considering you had a fallout. The fact that you have some good things to say about it is probably a good thing. But before I let you go, I wanted to ask. So what Albion really need is some other relegation candidates to help us out. I mean, Newcastle aren't down there with us at the moment. But how do you feel about Newcastle this year? Where do you think they're going to finish?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of waiting to see, really, because I think at the start of the season, with I sort of talk about Alan Pardew there as and his kind of battles with the board and stuff. Well, Rafa Benitez has had his own ones. You know, it's not been easy for him either to get his own way, and he wanted to sign striker. He wanted a number 10, as we didn't get them. He didn't get the money for them. He didn't get the back in the transfer window. And we were all very worried on September the 1st that either he was going to walk or the club was going to really, really struggle. In the event, they then went and had a really good run of form, which was, ironically, again, something that used to happen to Pardew. They'd gone really good runs of form and then really tail off. But the last few weeks has been a bit more chastening. They were, they actually played quite well at Man United on Saturday, but just couldn't compete really with them. They lost to Bournemouth and Burnley in the space of a few days, and that was a sobering reminder. And so I think we're looking at the next two games, Watford and West Brom, as being the two that, is it going to be we need to get to January and sign some players, or is it a situation of, Newcastle are probably going to keep their heads above water because the form's not been brilliant the last few weeks. They do are going to struggle to score goals. They've got 11 this season, but they've, three of them are against West Ham in one game. They've been in every game that they've played. There's no doubt about that. They're not a million miles away, but they're going to have a few like worrying moments, I think, along the way. I think that's fair to say, because they're not brilliant, but they work really hard. They're compact. They'll probably come to West Brom and play it pretty tight. I think they'll be okay, but there might be some tricky moments. I think West Brom and other teams will be looking at Newcastle and thinking, can we drag them in? I think with Rafa in charge and probably the couple of players coming back, they should be all right, especially if the takeover happens and they sign players in January. I think they'll be all right. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't write them out of the argument at the bottom. That is the ambition this year, just to stay out of relegation trouble and then sort of build from there.
Well, that sounds like we're in the same club. Mark, thanks ever so much for your time. You're a busy man, so we appreciate it. And who knows, we might be talking about Pardew's debut against Newcastle in time to come.
No problem.
Okay, so we're fortunate enough to have our own Newcastle fan in the office in the shape of our video editor, Ben Hurst. I thought it'd be a good idea to grab a bit of his time. Ben, let's say Alan Pardew is the man for Albion. Should we be excited about that prospect?
Well, a lot of Newcastle fans wouldn't say you should be excited, I would say. By the time he left, there was definitely a groundswell of opinion that they were pleased for him to go. He was someone who was associated with the regime at Newcastle more so than he possibly deserved. And over his time there, he never, ever had any real control over who they were signing. Let's not forget that they brought in someone as mighty as Joe Kinnear as the director of football in his time there. Joe Kinnear, who said when he joined, judge me on my signings. And in 12 months, he made no permanent signings whatsoever. And Graham Carr, the chief scout, was also a key member of people. He was someone who decided on our entire transfer policy. He had a good start and brought in lots of talent from France and so on. But overall, it's definitely the case to say that his signings became less and less successful as time went by. Pardew was therefore presented with a squad that it wasn't his own. He had input into it clearly, but the problems that were in his squad, he felt he didn't really have a lot of control over solving. He was someone who had good patches and bad patches, but I think in general the Newcastle fans think that the bad patches outweighed the good. We definitely had some good finishes under him, and I personally think he did a reasonably good job, but by the time he left, I think everyone, including him, thought it was time to go. Let's face it, he went to Crystal Palace and didn't tear up any trees there as well, which is a slight blot on those people who would say that he was a good manager and was let down by the hierarchy in Newcastle. He was considered to be possibly part of the Cockney Mafia, which was Mike Ashley's friends when he was brought in. And overall, the fans really felt that he defended the regime too much and wasn't critical enough over the transfer policy and so on over his time. But I did feel he was in a difficult position there. He wanted to stay in the job and do his best he can, and he knew that criticising Mike Ashley was not the way to get what he wanted. So overall, I would say he's a good, solid manager. I don't think he'll be a source of much excitement for the West Bromwich Albion fans. But you know, I think he will do a reasonable job there if indeed he does go there.
Well, don't need to worry about that. Albion fans are well used to not being excited, so we'll plough along. Thank you, Ben. That's much appreciated. Okay, so what do we take from that? Well, I think having spoken to a couple of people now who know a bit about Alan Partridge, I think the thing you get is that he's a firefighter. He's probably someone who's going to come in and have a positive initial impact at the club. And I think it's hard to understate how important that is in terms of keeping our remaining a Premier League force. So potentially a good thing. But I think it's fair to say, and I spoke to two people who've watched a lot of Alan Pardew's football, there's a massive amount of love for him. So you can probably see why on social media people aren't necessarily throwing any parties at the idea that it's going to be him. I mean, just to say, who knows if it is going to be Alan Pardew? He's just the favourite with the bookies at the moment. But hopefully this has given you something to think about. And you know, as this manager search goes on, we'll look at more breakout podcasts. And in the intervening period, we've got some brilliant, funny stories coming up with footballers. So stay tuned to Woodman Corner.